Friends, this morning brings me to the end of this series of what I've called parallel parables. And the title is Mortals and an Eternal Kingdom. Now I have to start with some very technical information. Did you ever hear about Beanie Babies? Anybody? Well, it's not exactly technical, of course, I was only joshing, but Beanie Babies were cute little stuffed toys. They became popular in the 1990s. And the thing about them was, initially, that they were just so cute. Kids loved them. And they came with names and a tag on them, which identified them. And they became quite a fad because, kids saw them and liked them, wanted them. But it was more than that, because along with this fad for Beanie Babies, there came an anticipation that because these little creatures were produced with names and they were distinctive, that the assumption was that some of them would become quite valuable, perhaps. And some people expressed an interest in collecting them beyond their cuteness, but because of their potential value in the future. And of course, the company that produced them played into that very nicely. They marketed them quite selectively. They made sure that the different models of Beanie Baby got distributed out so that no place had very many of any one kind. And if people were looking for them, they had to shop around. And then the other thing that happened was that this was all taking place in the 90s when interest was just developing in the internet. And both the company that produced Beanie Babies and those people who began to speculate in them made use of the internet to contact potential buyers. The company managed it very well. They hyped the product, and then it was always a question of how many of each model there would be, and sometimes the company produced lots, and models that people thought were going to be rare became commonplace, and so forth. In fact, the company back in 1999 decided that they would stop producing them altogether. That heightened the hype around them. But in truth, of course, Beanie Babies, I think, are still being produced today. Nothing like what they were in terms of popularity back then, but an interesting little page out of history. Now, don't you feel enlightened? Well, hold on to that bit of information and we'll get to it. My parallel parable centers around a family. Jim and Ellie Flingknocker. And they had three children. Timothy, whose friends called him Timmy Flingknocker. And Mildred, whose friends called her Millie Flingknocker. And a very sedate little boy called Rupert. And his friends called him Rupert. Now, their family name is a strange one, not a common one at all. And Ellie, before she married Jim, wondered about what she was taking on with this Flingknocker name. But then, of course, Ellie's maiden name was Rumpelsdorf, with a PH. And she'd gone through life explaining to people how to spell her family name. And Flingnagar didn't seem too bad. Anyway, just a little family tidbit there. The family were a really nice family. They were of ordinary means, quite close together, in, you know, as a bonded family. They were regular churchgoers, very likable people. Then Beanie Babies entered their world. It first came about because an aunt, whose name I'll just not bother with at all, gave Millie a Beanie Baby. And everybody in the household adored this little stuffed animal and sat up and on the place of honor and wherever that was at the moment. Millie paraded it around the house and put it down where everyone would notice and admire. And of course, it wasn't all that long before Timmy thought that having a Beanie Baby of his own would be kind of good. Rupert wasn't so sure, but he got on board eventually. Anyway, it started off with just the novelty of it all. And they were cute, and they were something to talk about. And then the Flingnagar family started to read about the fact that perhaps these Beanie Babies might become valuable. And they began to read about that. People were saying that the ones, those particular models which were thought to be the most popular and least available, were actually selling multiple times what they had been bought for in the store. And slowly the Flingnagar family began to think of this not as cute little toys, but as a possible venture to make money. And my goodness, they got right into it. They started going around finding out what stores carried them and which models they had, and they started reading about what people thought as to which ones would become the most popular and the most valuable, and they began to buy them. It became sort of the family obsession. Oh, way beyond just something to sit out and admire and carry around with you. They had boxes of them. And, you know, they were just waiting for the moment to release these on the marketplace and take back their profits. And they too got on the internet and started advertising what they had, and they sold a few. They sold a few, in fact, for significantly more than they paid for them. But then the fad began to wear out, and the Flingnagar family was left with a spare room in which there were boxes and boxes of Beanie Babies that, when you added them all up, had cost quite a bit. And now, for the most part, they couldn't even get back a fraction of what they had paid for them. The craze was over. Well, the end of my story. Now, from Luke 12. Luke records events this way. He says, someone in a crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to the man, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then Jesus told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And the man thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." Friends, we're complex creatures. Complex in the sense that of all God's creatures, we have both a physical, mortal dimension and a spiritual one as well. It was the Lord's intention, you see, that in the creation of humans, that they should be a people in communion with Himself. And oh yes, they inhabited mortal bodies, and they had to feed them and care for them, and they had physical needs, and those were not denied. But at the same time, the purpose that God had in mind for humans was that they might also cultivate the spiritual capacity that had been given to them, and that they might therefore ponder the things of life and reflect on their relationship with the Creator. And that's our struggle, isn't it? That we go through life trying to balance out that mortal side of ourselves and the spiritual. And of course, the mortal side is very demanding. You know, it's very obvious. If we don't eat, we get hungry. Of course, satisfying our need to eat isn't always sufficient. It's sometimes what we want to eat, what we like. And the quest begins. And yes, we as mortal people need shelter from the elements, but sometimes we want to have a shelter from the elements that's pretty grand. And every day we struggle with issues of how will we live? You know, what sort of vehicle will we drive? How will we furnish our space around us? What do we want? And these things claim easily more and more of our attention, and sometimes to the effect of lessening our delight with what the Lord has provided, because we can think of more things and more pleasures. And the things and our need for physical things is not wrong. It's part of who the Lord created us to be. But if we lose the balance between our mortality and our spirituality, then we get into difficulty. And that's kind of what diverted the Fling Knockers for a time. They weren't in need exactly, but they saw a mortal opportunity to better themselves, and they went a bit overboard with it. And even that was at the cost of their spiritual growth as a family together. Now, you and I live each of our days in this tension. And the pressures are always immense for us to turn in the direction of the material and the physical and the mortal side of who we are. And our calling in Christ is to cultivate the spiritual, to remember God's grace, to rejoice in the Lord's provision, to turn to Him rather than to the physical world for our satisfaction. It's our struggle. And that's what Jesus was pointing out in the parable of the man who had good crops and built new barns. We need to think about the big picture. Last night, a little more personal than usually happens. Last night I got a call to go to the bedside of a woman who was dying. Someone not connected at all with Alberton, but someone I've known for almost 50 years. And I went to her bedside at the hospital, and I knew she was there. I had seen her earlier in the week. And gathered with her were her husband and three children. A close family. And it was my privilege to be there with them for an hour or two. And there was lived out in front of me, you know, the matter of the mortal and the eternal. Here is a lady who, a lady of faith, and when I had prayer with her last night, I said to her, she was conscious and aware. And I said to her, you are pointing to her two sons and daughter, and her husband there by the bedside. You're surrounded by the love of your family. But you know also that you're surrounded by the love of the Lord. And she acknowledged that. And she was very conscious of the fact that she was in the final hours or final days of her life. And there she was, you see, sustained by the physical, the mortal presence of her family and loved ones. And yet, poised on the doorstep of eternity. And she was content. Now she's an elderly lady, has lived a long life, has been married for 69 years. But, you see, it struck me that somehow, in the providence of God and by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, she had come to a place of comfortable balance between the mortal and the eternal. And we're all on the same journey. I've counted it a huge privilege in the course of my life and ministry to be with people in closing times in their lives. And if she's still with us, I'll see her after the service this morning. I had a text from her family this morning saying that, you know, she was not very communicative now, later in the night, but she was still peaceful. And to me, you know, of course there's sadness. Closure of human life always brings sadness. But there was also, for all of them gathered around her bedside, a sense of peace that she was in the Lord's care. And there was the balance, it seemed to me. And when I went home, I thought, tomorrow's sermon gets a new page, because it's a story to be shared. And it fits so directly into the theme of today. So friends, may we, by God's grace, avoid the temptations that are there around us all the time. Those ones that the fling knockers succumb to. Oh, they weren't bad people. They just were people struggling to find the right balance between the mortal and the eternal. And we've all been there, and we've all had our little run with Beanie Babies in one form or another, perhaps more often than we would care to publicly admit. But remembering and being reminded, we resolve to live in the grace of God. For that is what is eternal. Friends, this is all good news. Thanks be to God.